Hey there, church family. Welcome to our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. Excited about some of the things that God has for us tonight. Still trying to build and incorporate on what we can do here in our online services, but I'm excited to meet with you, at least this way. We have coming up on 2 weeks that our church, and of course as individuals, we've been trying to adjust to our new temporary way of life. And I hope that you're adjusting well. I've talked to many of our church members, and our staff has been trying to contact our church members and make sure that everyone is adjusting as well as possible and that we're helping as many people as we possibly can. And we have decided that all of our services, of course, have to be streamed online. And so we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to even meet this way. And so we're thankful for the technology, and I'm glad that we're meeting together, and I'm glad that we're coming together this way. And I hope that as we open God's Word tonight, it'll be an encouragement to you with all that's going on in our world, our society, our culture. I hope that God's Word refreshes you this evening as we come together. I hope that as we pray, and that you will pray, that we'll pray together for some of the needs of our people and some of the needs of our church. We have a prayer wall that we've put up on our website that you can go to and submit prayer requests and pray over some of those things together as a group. But I hope that as we pray in the video, we'll be praying together, though separate physically, that spiritually we'll be unified together in Christ. And we're going to do some singing tonight. I hope that wherever you are, as you're gathered together, that you will sing. I've been told that families have had the opportunity to sit down and watch the services that we've done so far. And so I hope that if you're sitting together as a family tonight, that you will sing and rejoice and praise the Lord. I hope that if you're by yourself, that you'll sing. If you're by yourself, you can sing as loud as you want. You don't have to worry about anybody hearing what you may sound like on your own. Maybe you're listening to this service while you're walking through a store. You can sing as loud as you want to, and be a testimony of Christ as you're out and about. But I hope that tonight's service or tonight's gathering will be an encouragement to you. And we have several different things that we're going to look at this evening from God's Word, and then several things that we're going to update you on toward the end of tonight's service as well. Let me jump into a couple announcements before I forget, and we'll do some of the same things that we've been doing the last few weeks, putting a few things up there on the screen for you. But let me give an announcement from our Awanas. Of course, on Wednesday nights, our Awana group meets and our kids clubs meet. And this is a message from Mr. Hoffman, our Awana director. And he is hoping that our kids will be able to stay up to date. We really don't know when we may be able to meet as groups again and as kids clubs. And so we want our children to be able to adjust and keep up and stay up to date so that when we do get to come back together, that they're all caught up with their verse sections and their projects and their book. And so Mr. Altman's announcement is that he would like all parents to take their child's book and go to the next section that is not complete. It may be a review for some. It may be your first time through the book. And we're asking that parents listen to the verses that their children are memorizing or check off the different projects that they're doing. And then you can sign that they've completed those, and that'll help your children stay up to date and caught up where they should be as a group. He did say the one technicality there is that they're asking that there's no more than 3 helps per passage that they're memorizing, and kind of help them get along to that point and then sign off for them. And then you can check in with your child's club leader and let them know where your child is, and they can kind of track their progress. I'm hoping that we're back together before the end of our Awana time, which I think ends about the 3rd week of May or so. And so I'm hoping that we're back together before then, but that will allow our Awana students to be able to keep up with these things together. Let me give you another announcement, is that our website has been updated a number of ways this week. We've announced this on the other videos that we have had. And we'll show you some different things maybe at the end of this video tonight. I'll give you a little bit of instruction as to how to find some of these things. But there is a prayer page there, a watch page where you can catch up on all the services and videos. There's a giving page, and many people have given through the online giving, and we're grateful for your faithfulness even in this kind of unusual time. And so the Lord is very much blessed in that way, and so we're excited to be able to have these different updates as well. And then on social media, we have been doing our best to update even more on there and communicate and interact. And I'll show you at the end of this video how you can follow, of course, on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube page. One member of our church, Jack Knapp, was mentioning that he has a smart TV at home, and he was able to install the YouTube app on that TV and then subscribe to our church channel. And so anything that we put on YouTube will show up there on the television, and they'll get updates about that. And so that's one way. And then sharing our page. We are not out and actively inviting people to attend our church or to gather with us physically, but we can share some of the encouragement from God's Word and share some of the things that we're doing as a church online. And we may have the opportunity to meet some folks for the first time online. We had people, we had missionaries watching our service these last couple weeks from two or three different continents. We have had former members from across the country that have let us know that they were thankful to be able to take part in our services. And so we'll show you how to share some of those things as well coming up. And we're going to get into our study in just a few minutes. Let me tell you this, and then we're going to go into some singing. I'm going to try to put something up here on the screen for you. And it's a help for our services this evening. I'm going to put our website up on your screen for you. And of course, this is our website. And if you go to lbcrichmond.com and then just type / James, we're going to be studying the book of James over the next few weeks on Wednesday nights. And now right now there's no video posted. That will change as soon as we finish making this video tonight. But you'll see there a couple different resources are going to start to appear. And you see this study guide over here on the right hand side. If you look this up on your phone, it'll be underneath the videos. And every week we're going to post a study guide for the lesson. And so if you want to pause this video and go to the website, if you haven't done it already, you can go and click on that or select it, and it'll bring up a study guide for tonight's Bible study. You can print that off. There's several different portions to that. There's some background tonight that we're going to be studying as we begin the book of James. Then there's some personal questions and some study questions that you can walk through. And then I'm excited about it has a family discussion section at the end of this. And this is something we've put together to kind of get families even talking a little bit more after we have listened to God's Word. And so that's available already for tonight's message. And so if you want to pause the video, go download that or print it off, however you want to be able to look at it. You may want to pull it up on a second phone or a device and have it there as you watch the Bible study. But what we're going to do is you're going to see in a moment Mr. Young, our music and worship leader. He's going to come and lead us in a couple songs. We'll do one at the beginning, just before our Bible study, and then we'll do a song as we finish our Bible study. And I hope that you'll participate. We're going to put the words on the screen just like we would in a service. And so I hope that you'll participate with each of the things that we're doing tonight in our study.
Let's sing together. We will glorify the King of Kings.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord, Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
I'd like for you to take your Bible this evening and let's look at the book of James. I'm going to start a new study on Wednesday evenings, a Bible study through the book of James. And I think we're going to find that the book of James is very applicable to our current situation. And you're going to see some of those things this evening as we get started. So I hope that you have your study sheet. I'm going to work through my study sheet the same way, hopefully, that you are, whether you have it printed or whether you have it on your phone or whatever device. And like we did last week, I'm going to try to put the verses and some different things up on the screen where you can kind of see both things at the same time. And so we're going to start walking through the book of James together. And you're going to see that our theme is finding a faith that works. The idea behind that is one of the themes of the book of James is that true faith brings about a life of faithful works. It doesn't mean that we earn our salvation by our works, but what it means is that if we are saved, the Bible says a true Christian will be seen and manifested visible by their works, the works of Christ. And so we're looking in this day and age and in these circumstances to show the light of the gospel. Well, how can we do that? By working the works of Christ. Well, how can we do that? By faith in God's Word and in God's Son, being led by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to walk through this book. I'm excited about looking at the book of James. You may hear me say the book of John on accident. We've been there on Sunday mornings. And Peter, James, John, it all kind of links together sometimes. So if I mix up a word here and there, forgive me. But we're talking about the book of James this evening and for the next few weeks. Our first lesson is going to be about the background and the author. So maybe mostly some information about the book, how it can apply to us, how we're similar to the people that this book was written to. And so we're going to walk through that this evening and then take one main thought. I know you're excited to hear that, right? One main thought from the very first verse tonight. And I hope that we'll be able to discuss it in your family, as a couple, or with maybe someone that you're going to could also do this Bible study with. Invite somebody to go over that, whether you walk through this video or through the study guide, but study this with someone over the next few weeks. Call them, do it virtually. There's a lot of different ways that we can be sharing God's Word. And so we're going to walk through this together this evening. I'm going to start by just reading the first few verses, and I'll put them up on the screen for you. In fact, I'll make them a little bit larger for you this evening, and then we will walk our way through these verses. James 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Various trials is what this saying there. Different types of struggles. And we are facing all sorts of struggles at the moment. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of our faith or of your faith worketh patience. That word means steadfastness, endurance. That when faith is worked or tested in your life, it builds steadfastness and endurance in you. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and I think we all need wisdom at this moment, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And so I hope that you see there, even in these first few verses, that we're going to need some of this in our lives these next few weeks. We need wisdom. We're facing struggles. We are facing trials in our lives. And so we want to look at the book of James. We want to do it well. We want to study it completely. And I think that God has great things for us here in the book. I want you to look, if you would, at your sheet, and there's some information on that, on the study guide. If you don't have it, we'll put some of it there on the screen for you. But notice it says that the book of James is written by who? Hopefully you didn't say Peter there. The book of James is written by James. Now there's several Jameses in the New Testament. James, the son of Zebedee, the son of Alphaeus. But this is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine being a brother, a sibling of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Well, James was. And even though he saw Jesus grow up, he saw the works of Christ, he saw his ministry, maybe even because he knew Jesus in such a familiar way, you'll notice it says that James did not believe in Jesus, that he was the Messiah at first. James, John 7:5 talks about the fact his brothers did not believe that he was the Christ. So we know that James didn't believe, but then luckily, fortunately, we know and have the rest of the story. That in 1 Corinthians 15, it identifies James, particularly James, the brother of Christ. And it says that after the resurrection, he saw his brother crucified, nailed to a tree. He saw the death, the agonizing pain that he went through, the burial, but then the glorious raising to new life. And it converted, that Jesus worked in James's heart and converted him gloriously. And he became, Paul called him an apostle of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ. He became the leader of the church at Jerusalem. He became the leader. And obviously, we have this book today. And so we notice that the book of James, of course, written by James, but it's written, we saw in verse number 1, it says, to the 12 tribes, to Jewish believers, which are scattered abroad, and he sends his greeting. And so we know it's written to believers that were living throughout the Roman Empire. Those believers in particular, we saw right away in verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word temptations literally means trial, struggle. We're going to see that all throughout the book, that he's talking to them about their struggles, their trials, their tribulations that they're facing. They were facing oppression. They were facing, they had been driven from their homeland, many of them, because of their belief in the Messiah. They were rejected by their brothers. They were driven out by those that were in Rome. So they had to move about. And so we see that there's a lot of problems facing these different believers. He's not writing to one particular church in one particular place. And so we have this huge variety of issues that have come up. We see problems, and you have the verses listed there. Foolish speaking, lack of self-control. They couldn't control their tongue because their mind and their hearts weren't focused on the Lord and on Christ. They couldn't control how they spoke. There was false teaching. There was prejudice, that we're going to study this, against poor people. They gave great preference to those that had things and landowners and those that were wealthy. Yet they rejected and despised and turned away poor people. They treated them differently. And there was prejudice no matter what your status is, your nationality is, no matter what our race is. We are one in Jesus Christ. And James emphasizes that as he teaches, and he shows that that is rooted in selfishness, was another problem that we saw and that we're going to see in the book of James. James tries to instruct and point his readers to true wisdom in the face of adversity. He says, this is from, you find wisdom in Jesus Christ alone. You're only going to find wisdom to deal with your trial and your struggle through God. And man, is that not a timely message for today? The trial, the struggle that you fear you may face or that you're facing already, God says, I have that wisdom for you. He says, if you lack wisdom about that, ask me. I will give it to you liberally through my word. Sometimes we ask God for wisdom to sort of just drop it from the sky. But God says it's found in my word. And so James is written similar, almost like the book of Proverbs, It's short, action-packed, just very quick topics, just moving from one thing to the next. And there is wisdom found in this book, but it's rooted in our knowledge and faith in the Lord. I want you to notice the main themes of the book of James before we look at our one main thought from one verse tonight. The book of James has, again, timely themes for what's going on in our lives today. Trials, persecution, and trouble can be expected. But here's the great news, and you have it written there in your sheet. But they're not a surprise to God. He uses them, in fact. Not only do our trials and struggles, not only does this issue right now in our world, not only does it not surprise God, He has a plan to use it in our lives for our good and our growth and for His glory. And so when we face a trial, notice how James says to face a trial, count it all joy. Have joy as you enter. There is not a lot of people walking around right now with great faces of tremendous joy and excitement. There is all sorts of discussion and conversation all over the place right now about what to do and what is next and who is right and who is wrong. But James teaches us that as we enter a trial, we can enter a struggle or a tribulation far different than the rest of the world. We can enter with joy because we know, like it says in verse number 3, knowing this, that trying of your faith is going to work and grow you towards steadfastness and give you endurance in your faith, give you patience in your faith in Christ. So trials, persecution, trouble, that can be expected in our world, in our sin nature, with mankind the way that it is. They will come, but they don't surprise our God. And in fact, He has a plan for them. And I want us to think about that as we read the book of James the next few weeks. What is God's plan for this trial in our lives? Notice the second main theme. God's work in us is measured by progress, not perfection. And I'm thrilled that that is the case. God does not demand that in us we be perfect all of a sudden in our faith in Christ. But it grows. The Bible teaches, the New Testament teaches about our growth in God's Word, our growth in Christ, our growth through the Holy Spirit. In fact, you notice it says, again, in those verses, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience, let your steadfastness, let your endurance in your faith have her perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect. Now, that does not mean sinless perfection. It means completeness, that steadfastness, in other words, that it will grow in your life. That you will be perfect, entire, complete, and whole, wanting nothing. God is going to use trials, and His work in our life is about growth. God does not demand sinless perfection in our lives right now, though He desires for us to be holy, though He desires for us to be righteous and Christ-like. When I say He does not demand us to be perfect and sinless at the moment, what I mean by that is He does not cast us out. He does not reject us when we fall or we falter or we fail. But He does require us, He does command us to grow. And He gives us the opportunity, the tools. He gives us what we need to grow. That's the second main theme. And then the third, which is really the biggest theme throughout the whole book, is that true faith leads to faithful works. And what we mean by that is not that real faith is earned by our works. James is going to make that clear. It's all throughout the New Testament that we are not saved by our works. But when we are saved, it will drive us to Christ-like works. And so real faith produces faithful works. I want you to think about a few things as we walk through. I'm going to put a few verses up here for us as we walk through. James 1, 3, and 4, we just read about our faith in it working patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that we grow in the Lord. True faith leads to faithful works. You see here, James 2, 17 and 18, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith, and I will show thee my works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. He says, he challenges, he says, I prove you. Prove to me that you have faith in Jesus Christ, but you have no desire to be Christ-like. And I don't think it can happen. That's what James says. It's impossible. But if you seek my faith, you will see that my faith is proven, it's manifest by the fact I long and desire to be like Christ. Let me put a couple other things here. John 10:10. And here's the great thing about it. Let me go back to that. It says, I will show thee faith by my works. Now, a lot of times we hear the word works. We think of deeds. We think of how we have to live. We think of rules in a way. But the wonderful thing about this is that the faith that we have that leads to faithful works, that faith leads us to a joy-filled life. Remember, it says, count it all joy when you fall into trials and struggles and temptations. God has our best life at His heart. His design for us is to be satisfied completely and only in Him. God knows us better than anyone in this world, and in this, He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He knows every desire. He knows every issue, every thought in our lives. But He also knows exactly what we were created to be. In fact, He tells us, He gives us promises. John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. More abundantly. Christ came to give us abundant, joy-filled life. Psalm 16:11. Notice this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now notice, he says, give me instruction. The path that you have for my life, show it to me. And as you show it to me, I will find great fullness of joy. Where? In the presence of God. And so when it says, show me faith and works and show me my faith by my works, it's not saying just rules and just deeds. It's showing a joy-filled, Christ-like life found only in the presence of God. This is what God has intended for us. Luke 12:6-7, it talks a little bit about the details that God knows about us. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Now, what is it saying? It says, the Lord knows you to the very number of hairs or lack thereof on your head. God knows every detail about you. And as I mentioned a moment ago, that includes He knows exactly what you were created to be. He knows exactly what satisfies you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what will bring you greatest joy in life, and that is life in Him. And so the book of James, as it explains, your faith will drive you to works. It's not saying have faith, so do a whole list of good deeds and follow all these rules. In fact, we put it there in your notes that a joyless Christian life, a Christian life without joy, is one with mindless, heartless obedience. Meaning, I just do this because I have to. I do this because I don't want God to hurt me. I do this because I don't want God to be mad at me. That is a terrible, soul-crushing way to live your Christian life. God not only doesn't intend for you to live that way, He intends for you to live with a joy-filled life, following Him and being found in Him. It's a horrific way and a terrible thing to see a Christian who lives life with no joy because they're trying to follow a list of rules and do a list of works without abiding in Christ, without finding satisfaction in Him. They do things simply to avoid trouble. And that is a mindless, heartless obedience. But that is not what God wants from our lives. So what does He want? I want you to think about this one thought for this week. That was kind of introduction to the book, if you want to think about it that way. A quick introduction to the book of James is the fact that we can expect trials and temptations, but it is a work that God is going to use them to do in our lives. And when that work is perfect and complete in us, here's what it'll look like: a life of faithful, Christ-like works. Isn't that what you want? And that what I know it's what I want in this circumstance of life, that the trials that we're facing, we know that God is not surprised by them. We must be grateful that God plans to use them in our lives. And we know that God's plan to use them, we know what it'll look like: Christ-like faith leading to Christ-like works. And so here's the thought for this week, though, and it's going to lead into our discussion. I just want to look at verse 1 for just a moment. It says in verse number 1, and I've emphasized it there for you on the screen, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that for a moment. Notice what he calls himself. James, a what? A servant of God. Now, I don't know about you. If I were the brother of Jesus Christ, the brother of the Messiah, the brother of the Son of God, I would want people to know. I would announce to everyone, I am the brother of Christ. But notice he doesn't do that. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that significant? Why is it important? Because it shows the change that James had in his mind about himself. And I wonder tonight, have we had that same change of mind about ourselves? Sometimes we think of Jesus is the one that comes and completes us. Jesus is the one that comes and makes our pretty good lives a lot better. But Jesus has come to reign and rule and conquer in us, to devour sin and the guilt and the shame of it, to spit it out of our lives, conquering it through the cross of Christ, through His grace, and radically transform us. And that is what happened in James's life. He went from a non-believer who did not believe that his own brother was the Son of God to a servant of Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, as we think about this one thought for the week, God had used, think about what God had used in James's life to bring him to the place of belief. In James's life, it was his relationship to Jesus Christ. He was the brother of Jesus. He knew Jesus. He got to watch and interact and see Jesus. He got to see his death, and then he saw him raised from the dead. He met him in person, raised from the dead. But every detail, every moment, every relationship, every event and struggle in James's life, God used that to lead him to faith, to believe, and in that belief then have a life of service to glorify Christ. So let's apply it to ourselves, that one thought for tonight. What has God used in your life to bring you to a place to be a believer as a servant? As far as your faith goes, I want you to think about what God did to bring you to believing faith in Jesus Christ. For some of us, He may have moved us to a new location, and that's where we heard the gospel. It may be that our parents, that the families, the homes that we grew up in, we knew Christ from the moment we were born, in the sense that He was taught to us, and God used those things. But I mean, even deeper than that, what is God using in your life to change you to become more like Him? Maybe God used a specific person to lead you to faith in Him. Maybe God used a terrible situation or a struggle or a trial or some sort of loss to point your mind toward Him. And we should thank God for that. Thank God for whatever He uses in our lives to save us, but then also thank God for whatever He uses in our lives to grow us. And that's really my thought for this week from this particular passage. For James, who went from non-believer to servant of Jesus, it was the details, it was the moments, it was the events, his relationship with Jesus as a brother that led him to those things. But then eventually it was Jesus Christ that changed his heart. And you ask yourself that question, you have it there on the bottom of your screen. How is God using the specific circumstances of your life to grow or to progress your growth spiritually? And I wonder what you think about that tonight. Think about all that's going on in life right now. Think about all that, all the things that are our struggle, our job situation, maybe up in the air right now. Think about it going into it. How will God use that to grow your faith and your life in Him? You're changing your pace of life right now. You're locked seemingly at home. You're with your family in a different way, in a different capacity. How is God going to use that to progress your growth in Him individually and as a family? As we think about the witness that we have at our work, at our jobs, in our communities, that we can have confidence that though this is a bad circumstance, it's something that God can use for His glory. How is God growing that thought in you? How is God bringing you to those things? Will you allow God to work in your life for steadfastness as endurance? Remember, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, steadfastness, endurance. I don't know about you. I want to have endurance through this trial. I want to have steadfastness in what God is doing in us and through us in this trial. So my challenge for you tonight is, yes, the book of James and the introduction to it, but you have there on your sheet, it has some things in the family discussion section. Take time, it has three sections, take time, think, and remember. Take time to encourage us. It has a psalm there that I think we should read together as a family or as an individual. It explains that God knows every detail about us. He knows every detail of us from the moment before we were even born. And knowing every detail about us shows us that He has a plan for our lives, for our growth, and for His glory. Then think. Look for opportunities throughout your day, throughout your week, to point out the amazing wonders that God has made and that God has shown in our lives, especially the tiny details of nature or whatever it may be. Emphasize God's design in our lives individually. Do that with our children. And then remember, take time to look back at the milestones of our lives and how God used them to change us and to grow us, and then humbly submit to what God is trying to do in us. Let's spend just a moment, a time of prayer, asking God to bless His Word. And then after I pray, we will play a quick song. Mr. Young will lead it for us. And hopefully that's how you'll be able to finish your night together as a family. Lord, thank You so much for Your mercy and for Your Word, for the grace that led us to faith. And then by that faith, the work that You have done in us through Jesus Christ. May this study of the book of James impact our lives. May we see that our lives, we are not saved to sit. We are not saved to or called to just exist. We are called to change and to grow. And our faith should lead to faithful Christ-like works. And so we ask that as we address these topics the next few weeks, as we watch a passage in which people struggled with trials and oppressions issues beyond their control, much like we are facing today, I pray that You will grow us, that in this trial, that we would count it joy as we head into it, and that knowing this, that as we are tried, our faith works toward patience, toward steadfastness, toward endurance in our Christian life. And we pray this in Your precious name. Amen.
As the deer, let's sing together.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone. desire, and I long to worship Thee. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee.
I hope you enjoyed our time together around God's Word this evening. I'm going to encourage all of our families to spend a moment in prayer together as you finish your evening, and spend some time praying together about our needs as families, our needs as a church. There's some prayer requests on the website, on the prayer page, and I'm sure more will begin to show up over the next few days. But spend some time in prayer, because we need the Lord's help. And then as I challenge you, try to read through the book of James. You may even do that this evening. Take you about 15 to 20 minutes and read through it as a whole. And I hope that we'll do that once a week in the coming weeks as we seek to grow in the Lord together. If you're still around at this point, I mentioned at the beginning of the video that we're going to show you a couple things just real quick. Several people had asked about how we can follow along with the things that are going on at the church. And so I'm going to show you a couple of those things now, if we'll pull them up, and I will show them for you. All right, so we mentioned that you can follow, subscribe, or share a number of different ways, a number of different things. Let me take you to our church website very quickly, and you can follow along in a couple different ways. Of course, we have our new features. We mentioned those last week. The video page showed you the beginning, our study of James page, and then our social media links are here, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. YouTube in particular is where we're going to be hosting most of our services. That's where they'll post first, and then we'll share those on Facebook. But you notice when you go to the page there, you can go from the website or just search Landmark Baptist Church Richmond on YouTube. And then what you can do is you can find this subscribe button over here in the corner, usually a big red button. Click it and you'll be subscribed. Then you can click and find, you can be notified anytime we post one of our service videos. It'll send you a notification on maybe on your device, or if you have the app on your TV, you can do that as well. On our Facebook page, several people mentioned we've had some prayer times together the last few nights. And so we'll try to let you know way ahead of time that those are coming. But one way you can find out about that is if you go to our Facebook page and you go to the little following tab. It may look a little different on the phone, but you can find basically the same tab. And then you'll go to notifications and turn on notifications. So then if we go live for a prayer time, we go live to share something with you about our church, it'll notify you. and it'll let you know some of the things that are coming up in our church. I love you. I love each member. If there's anything that I can do as a pastor to help you, let me know and contact us. And the church office is open right now. As long as the Lord will let us have that, we're doing things as safe as we possibly can. Continue to pray for our school ministry. The teachers have been hard at work this week, shifting everything now that schools have closed for the year physically, shifting everything into online learning and trying to help all of our students finish their year academically and finish well. So be in prayer for our school ministry. But the office is open. If you need something, you can call. You can drop by if you need to drop something off or if you need anything in particular. And we're here to do everything we can to help. And let's stay engaged, stay connected throughout these weeks to come. God bless.